My name is Joe Toscano, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to emergency medicine, but I'm in love with urgent care. I've been doing both for almost 30 years, but this isn't about me. Over those years, I've been privileged to work with and meet many of the people and personalities who have formed and shaped the specialty of urgent care medicine. For a long time, many people have felt that their voices and experiences should be made available to anyone and everyone practicing urgentology. Well, now there's a chance to do just that in a series of podcasts that I hope you'll enjoy and learn from. Thank you for listening. Sheila Eva Blomquist is the most cosmopolitan urgentologist I know. She was born in the U.S., and her education and practice have taken her to many interesting locations here and abroad. Sheila practices urgent care medicine in Ireland and is currently participating in the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care Medicine's fellowship program. Let's see what she's up to and talk to her about what's happening in urgent care in Ireland and on the continent. Her worldview is pretty close to precisely just that. Well, hello. It is my pleasure to be interviewing today Dr. Sheila Blomquist. She is truly a cosmopolitan urgentologist. I hope we can talk about a lot of her experiences in the time that we have. We'll try and cram as much as we can in. Sheila, at the beginning, I think it probably makes sense just to talk a little bit about your beginnings. How did you decide to go into medicine? Where'd you grow up? Stuff like that to start off.
Okay, well, apparently I was born and raised in Peoria, Illinois, a small area outside of there, Washington, Illinois. My mother is from Ireland, so she immigrated in 57 to the area, grew up that area. My father's American. And apparently I announced when I was three that I wanted to be a doctor. I used to have Mercura come stains all over all my teddies and things like that. So, you know, I think I probably more decidedly thought about it seriously when I was in junior high school and started planning for it. And started planning for going to Spain as well, because that was the other objective, was to go my junior year abroad to Spain. And I started planning that when I was a sophomore in high school.
Very cool.
So
you trained, you said.
I'm not quite sure what
you trained. So you had mentioned Marquette, but where did you go to college and med school and undergrad?
So Marquette, where I did my bachelor's and pre-med for Spanish and pre-med studies. I did a master's in Spanish through NYU in Madrid. And then I came back to actually go to Grenada. So I went to Grenada for med school. And the way the Grenadian system was at the time, it was 2.5 years down there or similar to the equivalent. And then you did your clinicals either in England or the US or a mixture of both. So I ended up going to England for my clinicals since I had all of my internal exams done. And then I did my U.S. exams later when I was in Spain working and came back into the system for residency.
And where was your residency in that?
I did family medicine in Glenview, Illinois. It was at the time McGon Northwestern program. They've since been taken over by North Shore. And so that's when I first started getting into rotations for integrative medicine as well, because they had already been embedded in the program. And one of the fellows from Arizona had started the department. And did my 3 years there, did 2 years extra for OB fellowship for high-risk OB C-section training in Oak Park through West Suburban PCC Wellness. And then I ended up in Arizona because I decided that I didn't like winter anymore. And it was as close as I could get to Spain without actually being able to get back to Spain. So I was out in Arizona, New Mexico for 13 years.
Wow. So there's a little bit of the wanderlust there in your early training and experience, but I know you practiced a lot of places. That was the part of your background that really wanted me to interview you and have people hear about your experience from Arizona. Give us a little taste of where you went after that, how you got from there to Ireland, where you are now.
Well, Arizona in itself is almost like being in a foreign country, because when I first went, I went to the Hopi Reservation. So I spent 2 years on the Hopi Reservation, which essentially is an autonomous nation. Mm-hmm. And some of the patients were Navajo, so I ended up having a lot of exposure to that. 4 years GP in Holbrook, did some Grand Canyon with that as part of the internal locums. And then I went to locums completely 2011, so I did nothing but urgent care in Stat Clinics, which was a really nice little 5-clinic system, has been since bought up by Banner, but they were lovely people. I worked for them for 8 years. And concurrently, I went back and forth up to Shiprock to the Navajo Nation site, and I was working there concurrently for 5 of the years. So yet again, basically like going to two different countries as far as culture and things. Mm-hmm. And the goal was eventually to get back to Spain, at least for commuting purposes. I didn't have the licensures and everything completely validated for there yet, but I had my Irish registration from 2017. Originally, my mother had wanted to move either back to Spain and go back and forth between there and Ireland, or at least live in Ireland while I was working. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I decided, well, you know, after everything was settled, after she passed away, that I needed to just get that going and start moving back to this side of the pond again. And so I've been here since November 2019. Trying to transition everything, was just about ready to get everything moved. And then the pandemic hit. And so it's been a long 15 months of nonstop and still haven't got all of my stuff moved, but I'm here.
So. Yeah. What's the COVID? So right now we're in toward the end of June. What's the COVID situation like in Ireland now? Is it mostly calmed down or?
It's calming down. Vaccinations mm-hmm. are in progress. I'm not sure what the complete statistics are at the moment. It was looking like it was nearing 35, 40% a few weeks ago, but they're a little bit backlogged as far as the updates go. It's getting there. I think probably most people will have their vaccines by end of August, maybe September. A lot of people, I think, are hoping for it sooner because they would like to travel. Europe is starting to open up again. For us, we can do outdoor dining now. The shops have started coming back open. Cinemas, though, have not. And obviously, concert venues and things have not, which is different to Spain because my husband's in Madrid and they've had the ability to go reduced capacity with masks for cinemas and theater and opera and all sorts of things for about the last 6 months. And they seem to be a little bit better statistically for vaccines. And so I'm looking forward to in the next couple of weeks actually being down there and, you know, getting back to a little bit more normal. Here, yeah. They're talking about indoor dining and other things will probably open up by first or second week of July. Mm-hmm. Travel. They just published that they're going to clear U.S. citizens with vaccinations to travel over to this side. I don't know when the exact date is. And for us, we have a green zone system they're setting up for the EU. So I should be able to go back and forth to Spain now without having to worry about quarantining, which is the whole reason I couldn't go before. You know, so I haven't seen my husband for like, I don't know, a year and a half. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been challenging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, in the many places you practice, what's the status of urgent care versus primary care, let's say? Are there places that identify themselves as urgent care clinics or centers and the public understands that? Or is it a little bit below the radar? Or is it part of something else? How is urgent care identified and practiced in some of these other places?
Well, I mean, even just when you look at compared to, say, Illinois and Arizona, it's a very, very mm-hmm. different situation. Most of the urgent cares in Arizona are fairly well established now. A lot of times the smaller areas like Pace and Cholo sometimes will end up operating like a primary care to some degree because they just don't have enough providers and they're very rural. Certainly you'll have kind of an urgent care mixed ER type of capacity when you get to like the Grand Canyon Clinic. Up on the reservations, they always have a fast track urgent care side and an A&E side. So it actually works out really well. Over here, at least in Ireland, it's just starting to kind of get established. I think the urgent care that I'm working at is maybe going for about the last 8 years. It's been kind of fledgling and now starting to build. And now have branches. There's two in Dublin. There's one in Cork. There's one very new one in Limerick, which I actually went down to work for several weekends of January and February to help them get established. The goal is to expand from there. There are a few other companies that have finally kind of gone into the fast care, swift care, urgent care, however they want to term it. It's not recognized as a specialty here yet, though. What's interesting is I got board certified in the States through the American Board of Urgent Care 2018. And for that, because there wasn't really a formalized training, you had, I think it was 7,000 hours in 5 years that you had to do. I had something ridiculous like 6.5 years, 13,000 hours. So I felt still like I didn't have enough of the formal training that I wanted for some things. A lot of things I did, but I still kind of wanted that little bit extra. And when I was interviewing for over here, I happened to be talking to one of the doctors who had been finishing up for the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. They have a very formalized curriculum. They have it to where it's online as well as on site. And so that kind of was the icing on the cake as far as, you know, that little bit extra to, you know, get some of that more formal training and things under my belt. So I'm in the middle of that, actually, you know, on top of everything else. So.
Right. Yeah, New Zealand, I think, you know, from what I've heard, and I've spoken a couple of times with some folks there and want to get them on the podcast, but urgent care medicine is a specialty the way general surgery or family practice or EM is. They've worked hard and been able to achieve that there. Very interesting. It's going to be interesting to hear the their experience and the whole history of that. I heard you made some music videos. Mm-hmm. And you had some been planning on making some videos or some films about Marquette experience abroad. But have you ever thought about doing anything about urgent care? Is that anything like that in the works?
Thinking about it, because I think for training purposes, especially with the pandemic, what happened to a lot of people, the training got very much disrupted. So I think not only for newer things like urgent care curriculum development, which I'm really interested in, you know, helping out in the States and perhaps even modeling it a little bit on how New Zealand does it, but also just even going back to medical school, my medical school in Grenada, a lot of my friends actually are back down there because they work for the school. And the whole system was just all of a sudden you had to go back online for everything. One of my adopted kids in Tucson, she started Arizona for medical school. Same thing. Everything was all of a sudden online in places where I don't think they had ever actually thought about it. And all of a sudden, overnight, people had to make this massive shift. One of my friend's daughters who had just started RCSI here, she came from Wisconsin over to Dublin to get her started. Same thing. For the first month, they had lots of kind of podcast type of things online. And it just seems like now that is the perfect thing to start developing so that people can go more flexible back and forth. And then you don't have all these big disruptions in the future. So I think video, podcast, things like that, prime territory, you know, and certainly Arizona for integrative medicine already has that very well done because they made their program strictly online, I think around 2011. So it's just so easy to be able to do that. So you get some of your formal training that way, you know, some of it is actually through video. So some of it is through other types of media. And at the same time, then you're still being able to put it into practice. So I think urgent care would be perfect for that. You know,
is Andrew Weil still part of that? Is that the Arizona program that Andrew Weil started?
Yeah. He is the founder and still kind of the guru. Since then, because it's just so big, they have the fellowship side, they now have the health coaching side, they have the residency students, because you can do at Tucson, or there's a lot of programs around the country that are actually part of the system where the integrative medicine training is embedded now. And my program was actually one of the first early embed sites where you could do rotations, you know, actually on site without having to go to Arizona, because the curriculum was still managed. So
yeah, I think it was, it's interesting how you said that COVID sort of catalyzed a lot of this online stuff, and in areas where certain specialties are more developed, where you wouldn't have thought you could have that interaction. And I think probably we'll see more of it and be to the betterment of things. Okay. How about your top three favorite places to practice urgent care and a little bit about why?
Definitely on Navajo, because it was just a great cultural experience. And the way I worked there, I was a family medicine employee. So I did their same day, which is essentially was the family medicine hallway urgent care. But I would float directly to the urgent care and help them out. So I was part of that crew. And later on, they had what they used to call the pit, which was this kind of triage system. One of us, as the doctors, would be in the kind of intermedium, managing who went to urgent care, who went to A&E, could jump in and do kind of the level threes or just kind of snap people up. Okay, let's get your X-ray done. And it was really just a great management system. You'd be, you know, just kind of pooling resources over like a 14-hour shift. So, but it was really, really interesting. And then, of course, I would still do OB night call. So I had kind of the best of all worlds and all of my specialties in one. So it was really nice. And I love the people up there. It was a fantastic area, you know. And I still have lots and lots of dear friends up there, both from the hospital as well as from, you know, the local areas. And I maintained a lot of friendships in those, you know, and even on Hopi. Hopi was lovely. That was a wonderful time frame as well. Very similar, smaller unit. So they didn't have a large capacity. So a lot of people would be more shipped out. So it really trained you into thinking on your feet as far as, okay, I'm 65 miles from the closest delivery unit that has a C-section capacity, or I'm 65 miles or 100 miles, depending on which A&E I had to transfer out to or ICU system. So you had to start thinking as you're looking at this person, as you're talking to this person, right, it's snowing, it's Arizona in the middle of a snowstorm on the rim, and I'm going to have to call an airplane. Where am I going to land this plane to get this person out? Or am I going to have to send an ambulance 65 miles up to Tuba City because this is an OB situation that I can't do by myself?
Yeah.
So it was fascinating, you know, and it's, it really is like being in a different country in a lot of ways, just because rural America and especially the West, it's a very different thing than being in Chicago, you know?
Sure.
So, and I mean, they were fascinating. Here, it's quite interesting because I've actually worked at all four clinics. And initially, when I had worked down at the core clinic, it was shortly after I arrived. I went down on the pretenses of, oh, I'll go see my family for Christmas, and ended up working three shifts, which was hilarious. So I got to know them really well, really quickly. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I actually was working down there for the first week of March, came back, everything really started kicking off. And then I went back the last week of March when the pandemic lockdown was full on, because I was having to cover shifts for people who were out. And it was very strange because I remember coming back up to Houston Station the day after my birthday, and it was like the zombie apocalypse. There was not a soul on the street. And I came up on the morning train and had to actually get to Swords because I was on shift for that afternoon at Swords, trying to figure out, okay, there are no taxis here. There's no people here. So it was a very unusual experience. But each clinic, very similar to Arizona, is very different. So, you know, the local population in Limerick, you know, lots of people I know or I'm connected to because of family. Cork, to some degree, the same, but a little bit more cosmopolitan yet. Then as far as Swords, Northside, Dublin, near the airport, so you get lots of travelers and things coming through, a lot of air crews back in the day. You know, very interesting mixed population. And Dundrum, I've only actually worked at once. That's the Southside clinic. So I always kind of liken them to Scottsdale and Mesa, Dundrum being kind of the Scottsdale version, you know. So, and for my friends that would kind of understand that joke, you know, the population differences, you know, are very similar. You know, it's amusing, you know.
Wow. Well, hey, based on your experience, what advice would you give urgent care clinicians in the US or UK or anywhere about achieving success and happiness in practice and life?
Definitely keeping a balance. I mean, it depends on what the family situation is like and how much commuting you have to do. I went from where I was doing a lot of driving, a lot of commuting, covering various sites that were, you know, sometimes 3 hours away, which I could work in 10 schedules with the end result being I was able to take off a month. So the ends justify the means. And then I basically took my mother and my family and we went back to Spain and traveled, or we just kind of hung out with the family. When I was here, the goal was more, I was going to start commuting back and forth from Madrid, doing 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, which the pandemic decided to do something else. But still, I have a little bit more of a balance now. So I'm still preparing some things since I started doing the master's and finishing up New Zealand's fellowship. But I have more of a life now. And now that I can actually go do things not related to pandemic, then, you know, things are opening up and that possibility's there. And I want to keep that more of a family-friendly balance at this point in time and be able to actually see my husband go do things.
So. Well, makes perfect sense. Sheila, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you and hearing about your experiences. And I'm sure we'll talk again. I'm interested actually in talking to you some more about curriculum. And I think a lot of folks in the U.S. are interested in sort of standardizing and formalizing urgent care. There are blueprints actually for some fellowships that were not accredited per se, but were in existence for a while in the U.S. There are several board exams that people can take that have some blueprints for them. So there's a lot of groundwork that's been done. But I think to be able to compare to what's going on in other countries and standardize it will be, again, for the betterment of the specialty. And I think people who have had your experience will be very helpful with that. So I'll be in touch with you.
Perfect. I would love to get involved. Absolutely.
All right. Well, take care. I know it's late there. Good night to you, and thank you again.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Please be on the lookout for more conversations with more of the very interesting people from the past, present, and future of urgent care medicine on the Urgentology Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please email me at jtoscano64@gmail.com. And thank you again for listening.